I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about this transition and about these things that are coming. I want to ask us the question this morning, are we settlers or are we pioneers? Are we settlers or are we pioneers? Let's take a look in God's Word to do that this morning, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're certainly not going to read the entire chapter, but I do want to read the first 10 verses of Hebrews 11. Would you stand together as we look at God's Word? And if you have your Word with you or want to read off the screen or however it is, let's look at God's Word together. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder was God. Great words for you and for me. Thank you, and please be seated. When I was 16 years old, I boarded a Continental Trailways bus. I boarded that bus by myself in the little town of Orange, Texas. And when I did, I left home never to ever live in Texas again. I left all the familiar surroundings. I left my parents, I left my brother, my relatives, my friends, and my school. And I left them to go to a place where I had never been before. Actually, except for an occasional trip to the nearby state of Louisiana, I had never been out of Texas before, and here I was now, 16 years of age, leaving everything that I'd ever known. That Continental Trailways bus took me through Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and Tennessee until finally I found myself at a bus stop at midnight deep in the hills of eastern Kentucky. I had left the flat, hot, humid Texas for winding roads and mountain trails and snow, which I'd never seen before. All of that part of eastern Kentucky, and my life changed forever. I still remember that shock as I traveled those hairpin curves down in eastern Kentucky, going over mountains when I looked over the side to the deep ravines on the other side there. It was so very different from the straight roads and the flat lands and the occasional small hills that were part of my Texas upbringing. Now, I knew when I left Texas where I was supposed to end up, but I'd never been there. None of my family members had ever been there, and I did not really know what to expect when I finally got there, and I really felt like I was a pioneer. Now, can you imagine today leaving everything that is absolutely familiar to you and taking off and not knowing even where you're going? Ladies, suppose this morning your husband came home from work tomorrow and said, "Pack up the stuff. We'll call the moving company. We're moving." And you would say, moving? Where? Why? And he would say, I don't know. We're just moving. Why we're moving? Well, God told me to move. I suspect your next call would be to the psychiatrist, thinking the old boy had finally flipped out altogether. What do you mean? We're leaving our friends, we're leaving our kids, our grandkids, our school, our church. That means we're leaving everything and everybody, and you don't even know where we're going. Well, think about how Mrs. Abraham must have thought that day when Abraham came home and announced, better pack the stuff, clear out the tent, we're going to have a tent sale because we're moving. And don't ask me where we're going because, quite frankly, Sarah, I don't have a clue where we're going. All I know is God said, go. Genesis 12:1 says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your fathers, your household, and go to the land that I will show you. And now Abraham became a pioneer. The Bible indicates that for much of his life, Abraham, like most of us, was a settler. He had settled down in his country. He was doing quite well, thank you. The family business was going well. The profits of the company were up. The shareholders were making money hand over fist. The employees were as happy as larks, and his investment were making for him big bucks. Abraham and Sarah were members of the Harem Country Club. They were dining regularly at five-star restaurants. Abraham was an important member of the Rotary Club and the Chamber of Commerce. And now God said, leave it all. Leave the familiar, leave the comfortable, leave it all and start on a journey. And as you go, I will tell you where you're supposed to go. Abraham, be a pioneer for me. There's something about being a pioneer that makes all of us stop and check out. When we look at our forefathers, the beginners of our nation, as they left the comforts that they had in the East, they took those wagon trains across the places, and we think to ourselves, how wonderful that must have been. But being a pioneer was not easy. Well, not easy for Abraham, not easy for the American pioneers. Pioneering was disruptive, it was hard, it was dangerous, and it was tough. Pioneering has always been that way, stepping out of to the untried and getting into the new, going where you're not certain where you're going to be going or how things are going to turn out when you do it. But it was pioneering that built this nation. It was spiritual pioneers that built the denomination we call the Church of the Nazarene. It were pioneers that built this church. And that same spirit continues to advance the kingdom of God even today. And it is that spirit that challenges you and me today to catch a vision of what can be as a church. Ever had what I call a life-defining moment? If you have, do you remember where it was? Do you remember what it was? Mine happened to me a number of years ago. One of those days, you know, when I was just tired of everything. I was tired of the office. I was tired. I couldn't take any more of my staff. I was tired of the church board, and I just needed to get away for a while. So I grabbed the newspaper. I drove down to the local McDonald's, and I walked in. I looked up at the ad board there to see what a cup of coffee would cost me, and I noticed the cup of coffee would cost me $1. So I ordered my cup of coffee, I took out my dollar bill, I gave it to the girl waiting on me, and she gave me back 40 cents. Well, being honest as I am, I opened my mouth to tell her that coffee cost $1, not 60 cents, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. That she was giving me the senior adult price, and she didn't even ask if I was a senior adult. Well, I'm there, folks. I am a dues-paying member of AARP. I guess the gray hair is the dead giveaway. A couple of months from now, I'll be 79. I want to tell you that because I'm not some young whippersnapper up here today talking to you. I'm one of many of you here this morning. But do you know this morning what the easiest thing in the world for most of us to do, regardless of what our age is? Do you know what the easiest thing for any one of us here this morning to do, regardless whether you're a senior adult or not? The easiest thing for us to do is nothing. Nothing. I'm calling on us today to be pioneers, not settlers. Nothing wrong with being a settler. They built towns. They gave stability. Pioneers set out from St. Louis or wherever it was in the Midwest they started from. They pushed west with a vision in front of them of a better life. They were headed for what in those days was the paradise called California. And so they endured hardships, accidents, weather, diseases, and Indians. They endured robbers and death, and they pushed on across the prairie from Kansas to Colorado until some of them came to a place we now know as Colorado Springs. Ahead of them lay the beautiful, towering mountain, snow-capped range out there, and they knew that California lay just beyond that mountain range. They knew that everything they had dreamed about and they had hoped for and sacrificed for was over there. But many of them made the decision to settle. Now, Colorado Springs is a lovely place. It's beautiful. It has nice weather. I've been there. I know about Colorado Springs. It's a nice place to stop and rest and settle. But you know what? Colorado Springs was really started by quitters. Quitters. It became too easy to stay right where they were. Tired of the trail. Tired of the hardships, tired of the dangers, and so they settled. And the easiest thing in the world for you and me to do in our local church and in our own spiritual life is just settle. We've done our thing, we've put in our time, we've served enough. Other people can dream now. Other people can have a vision. Other people can work and give. After all, we've got a new pastor coming and, you know, he can take care of things. After all, that's his job. And so now we can just tuck in and we can settle. But God has called us to move forward and not settle. Remember the time God spoke to Moses when the Israelites were camping out in the desert? God said, "You've been here long enough. Tell the people to move forward." And that's what you and I must do. Now, it won't be easy, and we may have to make some adjustments in the coming days. That's part of the journey. And life and things will not be like they've always been. That's part of the journey. But God has called you and God has called me to move forward. God wants pioneers, not settlers. I told you when I first came that part of my life has been mission trips. I went on 26 of them. Year after year, we'd always take somebody on mission trips. And I remember one year following one of our mission trips somewhere that I heard from Ralph and June Russell, who were at that time members of the Wadsworth Church. Ralph was 80 years young in those days. Do you know what Ralph and June were asked to do at age 80? They were asked by the denomination to go to Brazil for a couple of years and work as volunteer in Nazarene missions at age 80. Do you think they had become settlers? I don't. I think they were pioneers for God. Now, I'm not suggesting this morning that you need to dash out of here after the service today and dust off your passports and apply for mission service. What I am suggesting is this. God has more things for you to do. He has more territory for you to claim. He has more places for you to become involved. And in doing that, God wants to make every one of us a blessing. He may just have some new ministry that needs your expertise, that needs your experience or your outlook. And He may just want to move you out of your comfort zone where you move from being a settler to a pioneer. Fact of the matter is, none of us along the journey have learned everything yet. God has always something new for us to learn and some new ministry to get into and something new all the way through our lives. So we're not settlers. We're pioneers. So let me just make it personal. Has God been teaching you anything new these days? Growing in some new uncharted area of your life where you've just been a little maybe hesitant to step out and do what you kind of feel God's got His thumb in your back about? Is he trying to move you into some place where you feel maybe a little bit uncomfortable or uncertain? And God is really kind of whispering in your heart and mind, step out. Go for it. Be a pioneer. For me. And then the church. Let me talk about to the church a little bit. I really do believe God has great days ahead for you as a church. I've watched you over 7 months. I've felt your spirit for over 7 months now of this interim period. I know you've been praying and opening your heart. So I believe God has good things ahead of you. As you move into the next chapter of what God is going to do, I want to tell you, things will change. They're going to change. And change is never easy. When Pastor Rob comes, he may not lead you like other pastors have led you. He may not yell at you on Sunday morning like Pastor Mike has been doing for 7 months. And he won't be Titus. He won't be Titus. I know you loved him. I know he has a great part in your heart, but he won't be Titus. And he may propose some new ideas. He may have some ideas for the church that will move you out of your comfort zone. And he may point you in some new directions to step out into the unknown and the untried in order to reach communities around us for the cause of Jesus Christ. You see, it's so easy to kind of sit back and lament his passing. It's so easy to sit back and lament things that have happened and the hardships and the difficulties. You see, it's so easy even to complain sometimes. Or to rise to the challenge and get involved at wherever you're needed and to give of your time and of your energy and of your money for the cause of the kingdom that God has in store. I'm always reminded that pastors make a church, that they really do. But I'm also reminded that the church also makes a pastor. So open your hearts. Welcome him in. Let him lead you out into new areas. Let's not settle for what is. Let's step out as a church for what can be. For God and for the kingdom. So I want to challenge you. Don't be a settler. Be a pioneer for God. Again, I want to say thank you. I have enjoyed these days here. I want you to know I pray for you daily and will continue praying for you. And one of the things that I have done as interim in a number of different places is that I keep up with the churches where I've been. The Nazarene Grapevine is good about that. So I watch. I look at the monthly statistics. I hear from the superintendent. I kind of keep an ear to the ground as to what's happening in the places where I have been, because I want to see where I've been. I want to see what God is doing, leading, guiding, and directing, and helping you to become by the grace of God. So let me hear some good reports, okay? Some good reports of what you're doing under the leadership of Pastor Rob, and where he's leading you, and what God is doing, and how you're touching a community for Christ. For if we don't touch the community for Christ, we really are missing the heart of it all. Because there are unsaved people, as I talked last week, people who need to know Christ. And someone in your life needs to know Christ, that you may have a way and an opportunity and a responsibility of being the way to bring them in to the kingdom of God. So let's move forward. Let's be pioneers and not settlers for the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you this morning for your word, for your presence, for your help. We look back over these 7 months and see what God has been doing. We thank you for your help and blessing. We thank you for the good people here at Kelloggsville, how they've become part of my heart, how I know they're part of your heart, and how I believe this morning you want to lead them out to new days, new places, new areas of ministry, new opportunities of touching lives for the cause of the kingdom. And so I pray for them as they get ready to welcome in Pastor Rob and his family. I pray that the blessing of God will rest on them, and that as he comes and as he begins to get a part of this congregation and begin to cast a vision for what can be out there, guide them, direct them. Spirit of God, move upon them is my prayer, until this church blossoms as never before, touching lives, making a difference, being what God wants them to be in their communities where they are. So help them to not settle, but help them be pioneers and see where God may lead them by the grace of God and by the help of your Spirit. So I pray today, God's blessing upon them, the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon them, for good days under God's blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. As I pray for you, pray for me, and let's move forward and see what God is going to do. Pastor George is going to preach to you the next couple of weeks, and he's going to help you as well. And you're going to open your heart for Pastor Rob to see where God is going to take you as a congregation. Would you stand, please? May the amazing grace of God, that love of God that touches our lives, that inexhaustible grace that's poured out on us, the intimate fellowship of your Holy Spirit, Lord, rest upon these good folks. Bless them. Fill them. Use them. May their days be bright because of your presence and your blessing. And as we go our way today, Spirit of the living God, fill us anew. And may we be all that God wants us to be as pioneers for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord today.